The scripture reading for this morning, as well as the text you find in the gospel, that is the good news according to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 in this Bible, that's on page 1896. 1896. The heading there is the day of the Lord. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has been since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Now his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. And then the text on which this morning's message is based, and that's also, of course, always in the context. Verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy and inspired word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to say just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do his gracious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. That's a good word to hear on this first Sunday morning of the new year 2019. As a matter of fact, the change of the calendar year just recently forcefully reminded us once again that time moves on and we move on with it. We are time-bound creatures, so different from God, who is eternal, who always has been, who is, and who always will be. Now, what do we expect, really, in this new year which has just begun? Well, congregation, in the light of the text for this morning, it is possible to be biblically optimistic, because Christ rules also in 2019. Apart from knowing that, and apart from believing that, there is very little reason for optimism. Optimism is only possible in the light of God's word, which says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth, and then this is the qualification for that new heaven and new earth on which righteousness will dwell, or the home of righteousness. Now, in his first letter, the Apostle Peter wrote about the persecution that the Christians were facing. Numerous Christians are facing that today. Magazines like The Voice of the Martyr remind us of that on a monthly basis. And thankfully, I don't have a subscription to it, but I do buy the Toronto Sun sometime, because its editorials and articles tend to be quite conservative. And so a week ago, on both Saturday and the Thursday before, there were two rather main articles about the persecution of Christians. But by and large, you don't read about it too much in our secular press. Well, in this second letter, the Apostle Peter deals more with false teachers, people who are coming, and even some maybe who are in the church, who are trying to destroy the truth by which the church lives. But then these people won't last. Peter wrote about that in the previous chapter. There he said that Sodom and Gomorrah didn't last, neither will these scoffers of today. And then he writes that the day of the Lord is coming. Now, says Peter, you better realize, you Christians, that there will be mockers, scoffers, the people who say, what is this about the promise of the Lord's coming? I mean, ever since the beginning, it's always remained the same. Day follows night, and night follows day, and that goes, and year follows year, and it goes on and on and on. Listen, says Peter, the flood at Noah's time destroyed the world of that time. And the present earth and heaven are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Also, for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So this talk about everything has been for so long and nothing is changing, that doesn't make any sense at all. And the Lord is going to come, Peter says, like a thief in the night. And that being the case, you ought to live godly lives, holy lives, as far as possible. And so the more our lives, people of God, are a testimony to who God is, the more other people will see that and possibly come to know the Lord, and in that way speed up the coming of the Lord. But destruction will come of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Well, that's a nice how do you do on the first Sunday of the new year. The whole business is going to burn up. That's the message. And there will be the destruction of the ungodly. But, you know, we used to have neighbors with two little girls, and they would come over, or if we're outside talking, and they always had to tell you things, and one of the lines was always, "And you know what? And you know what? And you know what?" Well, Peter says, "But you know what? In keeping with his promise, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." New heavens and new earth were already promised in the Old Testament by prophets like Daniel and Isaiah. As a matter of fact, Isaiah pictured it there as a children playing with dangerous animals. The prophet says, yeah, children will play with animals that are really scary and dangerous on the new earth and in the new heaven. So will there be animals on the new earth? Yeah, why wouldn't there be? Will we have a pet dog or a pet cat on the new earth? Well, why wouldn't we? The scriptures use animals also to picture that new restored kingdom of our Lord. So we're not going to despair at the beginning of the year, because we are looking forward to what God has promised us. He says, "I will make a new, create new heavens and a new earth," he says in Isaiah. And that new heaven and that new earth will be the home of righteousness. What a comfort that was for the people in the Old Testament already, and for the New Testament, as well as for us today. Now, will this present universe, and we're just finding out a little more lately of its immensity, beyond measurement practically, will that be totally destroyed, or will it be renewed? Well, one of my former professors at Calvin Seminary, Dr. Anthony Hukama, wrote a book that I notice is often quoted by Christian writers of different traditions. It's called The Bible and the Future. And there he gives several reasons for believing that the present universe will be renewed rather than totally destroyed or annihilated. In Revelation 21, verse 1, where it says, "I will create a new heaven and a new earth," then Hukama points out how there are two words in the Greek language for new. And the one word means new in origin, so totally new, new in time. The other word for new is new in nature. So it's the same, but new in nature, new in quality. And it's that latter word for new that is used about the new heaven and the new earth. What a time that will be when the Lord introduces this new heaven and the new earth, congregation. It will be superior in value and attraction, And it will be very distinctive. And righteousness will dwell there. Righteousness will be a permanent resident. You know, now a lot of things are wrong. At school, let's say, somebody is being bullied. That's wrong. Or we really tease our brother or sister. That's also wrong. Or we don't listen to our parents. That's also wrong. Or we make our children angry. Parents do that sometimes. That is also wrong. Well, now, Peter says, on this new earth, which he calls the home of righteousness, everything will be right. That word righteousness, we're told, comes from an Arab word, probably. Its root means straightness. So it's an action that conforms to a norm, to a law. So it means that it is normal. We live in a society where everything abnormal is being promoted, but it is normal according to the scriptures. And in the Old Testament, the word refers to the relationship between God and his people. And in the Old Testament, it referred to helping the poor and having a good relationship with them and with God. And God is the righteous judge, according to the passage. And he would reveal his righteousness, especially in the Lord Jesus, whose birth we just remembered. So even in this passage, the message is always to believe in the Lord Jesus and to live by faith and to trust him for his grace and for our salvation. Now, we are unrighteous. We often don't do what is right. And now we become righteous and we do what is right. Well, not perfectly, but we at least try. That's all because of the Lord Jesus. And so now God looks at us as if we are right and righteous because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because he took care of all our unrighteousness. And so we can say with the hymn writer, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. And so, like a little child, I come to Jesus, and I say, Jesus, please accept me just the way I am, and I want to be your child and love you and follow me, and please forgive me. Now, in the new creation, the new heaven and earth, everything will be right. Everything that is right will be living there. Near the beginning of the year 2019, we live in a world congregation in which so much is not the way it is supposed to be. Also, in this new year, there is illness, there is death, there is sadness, there is brokenness, there are divorces, there is abuse. The evil is still incredible in our world. The last century, maybe you've heard that before, but the last century has been called or has been dubbed as the most murderous century in all of human history. The last century, the most murderous century in all of human history. So many people killed. That great Russian thinker, Solzhenitsyn, referred to the last century as the caveman century. With all our progress and with all our knowledge and with all our discoveries, this great thinker called the last century, I think rightly, the caveman's century. You know, we live in a so-called age of relativism. That means there are no longer any absolutes. There is no right or wrong. And these relativists, in promoting tolerance all the time, that's what they're doing, they are in the process becoming the most intolerable people around, especially intolerable of the Christian message and the story of Jesus. And, of course, the message is you shouldn't judge ever. Who are we to judge? And be politically correct, which I've always felt is itself an evil that covers all kinds of evils. See, we don't really speak the truth anymore. We use all kinds of nice words and euphemisms. And then you're supposed to be politically correct. I've never bought into that. I hope you haven't either. We all fall into these traps sometime. I remember years ago in Cambridge, then I was the chair of the local ministerial, and then the city clerk asked me if I would do a prayer at the opening of the city council meeting at the beginning with new members and so on. So I said to him that I thanked him for asking, but I said, I have very seldom accepted just a request to say a prayer. I said, I will gladly pray with you and for you, but I need 5 minutes to address the city council. And the city clerk agreed to that. And then I made a reference to socialism and how there is this parody I quoted on Psalm 23. I won't quote that here now, but that starts by saying, the government is my shepherd, and I shall not want, and so on and so on. There were also a number of students there, high school students. And then one of the students came to me afterwards, and he said, "No, Pastor Coops, that was not politically correct what you said." Oh, I said, "I'm well aware of that. I don't really believe in that." Well, he said, "I don't either." So I was really happy to hear that. He said, we ought to say it more the way it is. Various present writers, congregation, various present writers are showing us, for example, people from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom in Calgary or the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, they show us in their publications that we are losing more and more of our freedom all the time. In Canada and the USA, for example, think of some of the pharmacists or doctors or marriage commissioners or bakers who are losing their job. Think also of the court case before the Alberta courts right now, even at this time. If that is lost, then none of the Christian schools and other schools outside of the public and Catholic system will receive funding anymore. At the same time, having said this, we are still the envy of all kinds of people in our world. And we still sing, "This land is your land, this land is my land, from Bonavista to Vancouver Island." And we love this nation. And it's great to be here in this country. We are, like I said, the envy of numerous people. But not all is well in the nation. And I mentioned some of these things this morning in order to show the contrast with what is coming. The text itself, verse 13, does the same thing. It says the new heaven and earth are coming, but it says that in the context of evil. In keeping with his promise, someday everything will be right. All because of Jesus, who is the Lord of history, who is the center of history, B.C. and A.D. And he is on the way. We have just remembered his first coming at Christmas, and now we look forward to his coming again. And the Bible says, every eye will see him. Every eye will see him. That is Jesus. About Jesus, we are told that the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. holds more books about Jesus, roughly 17,000, more than of any other historical figure, twice as many as the runner-up, which is Shakespeare. Worldwide, this writer says, there are an estimated 187,000 books about Jesus. Even a Latin American country or Central American nation is named after him, El Salvador, which means the Savior. And those 187,000 books have been translated at least into 500 different languages. You know, the writer who says that is a former Muslim. Took him 8 years of struggle to become a Christian. Maybe you know the name. It's Abdu Murray, the North American director of the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry. And he says this in his latest book, Saving Truth in a Post-Truth World. And every person, when Jesus returns, is going to see him. Someday, and I can't picture this, I'm sure you can't picture it, but someday the Bible says Jesus is going to come, return on the clouds of heaven. And then he will initiate this new heaven and new earth. And everyone will see him. You will see him. I will see him. Prime Minister Trudeau will see him. So will Premier Ford. So will President Trump. So will the Obamas and the Clintons. So will Putin. So will Assad. He will see him. And so will Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin, and everyone else. Your neighbor, the person next door, will see him. The persecuted Christians will see him. Will they ever be happy when they see him? But so will those who do the persecuting even today. And then all the believers will be with the Lord Jesus in that new heaven and on that new earth. And those who rejected him will be thrown into outer darkness apart from God, according to the scriptures. Well, it is with that kind of picture, congregation, that we continue into the new year, which has just started. And you know, that makes the present meaningful. It really does. So now I can go back to work. I can have fun. I can fall in love. I can get married. I can go back to school. I can retire. I'm also retired, and I can still do some work. I can love others as myself. All because of Jesus, who came to pay a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And now that message, people of God, the church has to continue to bring in this new year. Look, life is meaningful because the creation itself is meaning because God created it. And we continue to pray. We pray for our parents. We pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We pray, as we did this morning too, we pray for the bereaved, for the sick, for all kinds of people, for our leaders, including our prime minister, whether we agree with his policies or not. Since all these things are so, the verse prior to the text says, what kind of people ought you to be? Also in 2019, you ought to live godly and holy lives, for you look forward to the day of the Lord's return. You know, in conclusion, I want to refer to this writer, Randy Alcorn. I only read years ago his book, Deadline, which was an incredible murder mystery book. But he has written a thick book, too, a few years back, on heaven. And I took another look at that book recently. And near the end of that book, he says, sometimes we have these beautiful family times, or at Christmas, or at a vacation, and then we say, it doesn't get any better than this. You know, I want to interject personally there a moment something. We have that in our family too. I remember years ago when our oldest was 13 and the youngest 5, then I said once, even I think from the pulpit, as far as my family is concerned right now, the clock should stop, see? Because the oldest is not old enough to work in the summer, so we'd still do everything together as a family, but the clock doesn't stop. Well, Alcorn in his book quotes Revelation 21, of which I'll only refer to the first line, where he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and then he says, these are the words of Jesus. Count on them. Take them to the bank. Live every day in the light of them. Make every choice in light of Christ's return promise. Because he says, we were all made for a person. We were all made for a person. And for a place. And Jesus is the person, and heaven is the place. He says, if you know Jesus, I'll be with you in that resurrected world. With the Lord we love, and with friends we cherish, we'll embark together on the ultimate adventure in a spectacular new universe awaiting our exploration and dominion. And Jesus himself will be at the center of all things. And joy will be the air we breathe. And right when we think, it doesn't get any better than this, it will. Amen. Father in heaven, help us not only to be bringers and hearers of the word, but doers and to put it into practice. And help us in the midst of all the struggles and everything we face to keep in mind that glorious future which you are presently preparing for your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.